Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
He's the best, isn't he? Always makes time for us. That's not what makes him the best, but we love that he does that. When you talk about recruiting nationally, I love having Greg Biggins on, national recruiting analyst, 24/7 sports, man of the world, joining us now. What's going on in your world, man?
Oh, honestly, you kind of startled me. I wasn't expecting the loud Greg Biggins. I wasn't prepared. I was multitasking, sending a text, and I heard my name screamed. I'm good. I'm doing pretty good. How about you? How's life out there in the crazy world of Oregon?
I have no complaints. You know, that's my position. Yeah? I find that there are much bigger things than me going on in the world, you know?
Name one. What is bigger than John Canzano in this world right now? I can't think of anything.
Well, Oregon got Troy Franklin. Is that a big deal?
That's a big deal, absolutely. Could be the first or actually the second of pretty epic wide receiver class for those Ducks.
Let me speak to that because, you know, Oregon hasn't had great recruits at that position. Does that matter at all? Because I heard some people going, well, they've never had a NFL first-rate blue-chip receiver come through, and how could he do this? And I thought, well, what does Mario Cristobal have to do with Mike Bellotti's tenure?
No, exactly. You know, it's cool to be able to, you know, to have a tradition of whether it be Alabama, you talked about the O-line men or the wide receivers. If Clemson right now, it's wide receivers. USC, you point to quarterback. It's cool to be able to have that, to be able to sell. But I think more so it's so easy to recruit kind of away from that if you're Oregon. You talk about, you know, Brian McClendon as the receiver coach. You talk about guys that he's worked with. You talk about guys that Mario Cristobal maybe was with at Alabama, or you can go back to Miami. I mean, again, it's a lot of ways that you could say, well, this guy developed this player, this player, and this player. So it's not all much. Yeah, it helps if it's the school that developed those guys, but if it's the actual coach, you can sell that too. And obviously it's working for Oregon right now.
Let's go through the Pac-12. If I could just blister through it. USC, how is Clay Helton doing, even though he's got another year where everybody's negatively going to say, hey, how long is he going to be there? Why would you go there? He still is continuing to recruit well.
They're doing good. And I don't know how you feel. I'm one of those guys who have always, maybe it's because I live in Southern California, but I always feel like the Pac-12, Pac-10 is stronger when you have a good USC football, UCLA basketball. That's kind of how I always thought. It helps the whole conference just because those two schools kind of have a lot of juice to them. I think, you know, honestly, after last season, I was kind of curious how this year if they would rebound or if it would be more of the same. And I know a lot of players last year kind of had that, you know, we don't want to, you know, really jump on board with USC. We don't know about the coaching stability. But what happened was, man, they brought in a whole new defensive staff, and there's a different vibe if you talk to players. Even talking to Coach Helton, you know, talking by the player, everyone, there seems to be a different energy, a lot more excitement right now. And yeah, they're having one of their better classes in the last couple of years for sure. And I think a lot of it goes to the new staff, the new blood, and a lot of local players are kind of buying in right now. So that's, you know, also, you know, they're doing well in Texas. They brought in a couple of coaches from Texas, and you know, I've always said sometimes it's easier to actually recruit nationally than locally when you have a lot of negative press. These guys in Texas aren't hearing the daily, you know, Helton, he's on the hot seat. They're not hearing that in Texas like the kids are locally in Southern California. So yeah, USC is doing really well right now.
Oregon has to be right behind them. Of course, we talked about Troy Franklin. Dante Thornton is another guy, the number one player in Maryland, another receiver, elite receiver that they're chasing. What is Oregon doing is it cliche to just say that Oregon thinks outside the box and Mario Cristobal is such a good, energetic personality? I mean, what's the secret sauce?
You know what's interesting is, and I think we talked about this last year when we had some of our Chip Kelly discussions, is a lot of players actually grew up when Oregon was the hot team, right? And it was when Chip Kelly was the coach. But those were some of the funnest teams, if I can even use that word, funnest. Those were some of the best teams to watch, right? They were exciting, and you had the jerseys, you had, you know, the Nike, and it was fast break football, man. It was awesome. And so I think a lot of these guys, you know, grew up with that. You know, for me, I still hear kids say, oh, Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart, and you're going, dude, you were like 1 year old when those guys were playing at USC. But now these guys that are in high school now, they grew up with that. So I think they're actually, they actually liked Oregon. And then you applied the fact that great staff that's recruiting really, really hard. And again, all the things I said about USC, just the energy and just all the positive momentum right now. And, you know, Oregon was, a couple plays away from probably making a playoff last year. So I think you're seeing a lot of reasons why a kid would be excited to go to Oregon. It's not just the you know, pizzazz, the uniforms, the style. This year, the thing that's been interesting is, you know, Oregon is one of those schools that benefits probably more than in almost any other school getting kids on campus, because they do a great job on those unofficial visits. They weren't able to do that for a lot of these players because of the whole, you know, shutdown thing with COVID. So they're getting a lot of players who are committing without even Oregon being able to get these guys on campus. Now, Troy Franklin was able to visit right before the shutdown, and that was huge for Troy and for Oregon. But I think it's a team that's doing well with a really energetic, high-energy staff, with some tradition, and also the fact that, again, these guys grew up when Oregon was a hot team. So it's an easy sell, I think, right now for Oregon.
Greg Biggins, 24/7 Sports National Recruiting Analyst, is our guest. What are programs doing? Because, you know, I don't like being on Zoom calls. These kids cannot like being on a call. How are they recruiting right now? How are programs nationally adjusting?
I mean, Zoom calls, that's what they're doing. A lot of Zoom, a lot of virtual tours. That's really all they can do. So you're doing the Zoom calls, and I think you can be creative with it. You know, some players you talk to where it's not just one coach. It's you have multiple coaches, including the head coaches on there. And those, I think the virtual tours are pretty cool. And, you know, I've seen kind of different pictures where you can almost kind of get a pretty good idea of what, you know, the facilities look like. You're giving the kid basically a tour of the school itself, the campus, the weight room, locker room, dorms, all of that, just by, you know, some of these virtual tours. They're pretty cool. So really, it's just the schools that are committed to still being as aggressive as you possibly can be, and just being as creative as you possibly can be with those two areas. That's really all, like I said, Zoom and virtual tour, that's basically it. But I think for a lot of kids, you know, that's still something.
Out of Arizona, Chip Kelly lands Isaiah Newcomb, a two-way guy that is fast. I saw him do this at Oregon. He just recruited athletes. It frustrated everyone. What position is he going to play? He said, well, he's an athlete. We'll figure it out. Is that what he's doing with players like Isaiah Newcomb?
You know, I actually think they should do that with more guys. Newcomb is fast. He's a 10-9 guy. He probably would have been a 10-7 guy if, you know, spring sports weren't shut down. I actually covered his dad, Bobby Newcomb, who played in New Mexico and then went to Nebraska. Isaiah is, like you mentioned, a two-way guy. He'll come in as a receiver for them. And so I think overall speed is something that you've kind of seen UCLA lack a little bit. You know, Newcomb's their third receiver commit and probably the first guy that's actually a speed guy. I think the biggest difference watching UCLA football now, if you want to compare it to something, you know, compare it to some of those Oregon teams, it just seemed like those Oregon teams had speed all over the place, right? Running backs and receivers and guys just taking a little 5-yard hitch and going 60. You don't really see that with this current UCLA team. So I think they need to continue to recruit speed, but I do like Newcomb. And I think UCLA actually, they're doing pretty well. They're recruiting not the high-level 4- or 5-star guys, but the guys they're getting commitments from are actually pretty good, solid evaluations. Guys that we're looking at and going, you know what, this guy's probably better than his ranking right now.
Greg Biggins, 24/7 Sports, is with us. Amid all of this, Oregon State feels like it's lining up a team that will be really good in 2 years, bowl eligible possibly this season. I think they will be. What is Jonathan Smith doing? Can you give us kind of an outside-in look, what you hear about Oregon State recruiting in your world?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's like every time we talk, we kind of talk about what a good job J- Jonathan Smith is doing. Again, he's got a really good staff. It's, you know, they don't try to do – this isn't a shot at anybody. I always get, like, DMs from somebody saying, no, you took a shot at Oregon. When I say Oregon State, they're not a big bells and whistles kind of team. That's not a shot at anybody. I'm just saying that's what Oregon State does. They're a little bit more, you know, they're a little more substance. And again, they got some guys on that staff that I think are very diligent recruiters who recruit hard, recruit passionately. They do a good job of evaluating players. They know who they can and can't get. They target the right guys. Again, a nice job in terms of evaluations. The quarterback they got, Sam Bidlock, is a guy who, honestly, he's trending up. You know, the more we watch him, you know, we'll have a new rankings update. We do them the third Wednesday of every month. So this Wednesday, and Sam's a guy that's going to jump pretty high up in our rankings. Easton Mascarenhas is one of the top linebackers in the whole entire West region. I can go on and on and on in terms of looking at their recruiting class and seeing these guys all have kind of something in common. They're all tough, gritty, kind of hard-nosed, physical football players, right? That's just kind of their makeup right now. I think that's what Jonathan Smith is trying to do, you know, kind of have a football program of guys who are just tough and play the game the hard, you know, play the game the right way. So I like what Jonathan's doing for sure.
We've got, you know, a breaking story today with Chuba Hubbard at Oklahoma State saying, you know, he's not okay with his coach's T-shirt, which depicted the logo of kind of a right-wing conservative television station. He's upset about that. How much does this other stuff, political viewpoints, the coach's statements when it came to Black Lives Matter, how much of that comes up in the recruiting world?
I mean, it's coming up a lot. And, you know, I was curious if you're going to ask me about that. I have kind of my own views that probably wouldn't be very popular. But, you know, I do think we're at a time now where athletes are seeing how much power they have. Right, change is definitely happening. And I think they're starting to see that, hey, if we, you know, not just as a, you know, not just Black athletes specifically, but just college athletes in general, like if they now are seeing how much change they could possibly have, we're already seeing it in other areas. And so, yeah, I definitely think that you're going to see a lot of schools, a lot of colleges that are going to recruit. I'm trying to say this in the most politically way possible that I can without being offensive. But, no, I think there's going to be definitely, I'm trying so hard to be careful. You're going to see, I'm just going to come out and say, you're going to see a lot of schools who are going to recruit, you know, I think, maybe a Black head coach or staff that have a lot of, you know, Black assistant coaches, you know, they're going to use that. They're going to appeal to the student athletes saying, hey, I get it. I know what you're going through. I can, you know, and they always have in the past before. That's always gone on, right? It's funny. I still get ripped on to this day. I made a comment when Carl Durrell was hired at UCLA. I said, dude, Carl Durrell will be one of the better recruiters in the country because having a Black head coach at a school like UCLA in Southern California. Now, it's never happened, but I thought, you know, way back then that, you know, if you're a Black head coach, assistant coach, you can go into a family and say, look, like, I get it. I understand. I know what you're going through. I will take care of your son. He will be taken care of here. That, I feel like that mentorship, that recruiting pitch is going to be quadruple because of what's going on in the world right now.
I think that's important, too. And I think you look at the Pac-12. We were talking about this with John Wilner of the Mercury News earlier. The Pac-12 has 5 African-American head coaches and is viewed as a very progressive, you know, we're more diverse communities in some of the larger cities like Los Angeles and the Bay Area. And I think there's a real opportunity for the Pac-12. And I don't think that, you know, that I think people understand that, Greg. And I think people look and go, okay, look, that, you know, it's always existed. And I talk about this as a reporter who is not Black being in a locker room. There is a lot of trust that has to be built because I do think that when you are viewed as an outsider and you have a core group of African-American athletes in a locker room and you walk in and they don't know you, that it takes a lot of trust to build. And I think simply having that background that you allude to, you know, that African-American head coaches can walk into living rooms and say, look, I understand what it is to be Black in this country because, you know, a lot of us don't. And I think some other head coaches do not have that experience. So I don't think you're saying anything outlandish there. And I think it will be a factor in recruiting moving forward. We're talking to Greg Biggins, 24/7 Sports. Greg, as you look at
just a touch on that. I had a really good conversation just yesterday with a guy I've known forever, Alonzo Carter. He's the running back coach at San Jose State. He kind of had a viral video, for those who don't know, a couple of years ago, because he was one of the MC Hammer dancers in that video, Can't Touch This. And so people might know that name. But he's doing a really cool thing with a lot of coaches from historically black universities. And it's these Zoom calls where he's able to get a lot of coaches and try to connect them with high school coaches. And the idea is, hey, you know, let's kind of build up these historically black colleges, and how can we help to get kids more interested in them if they have that concern of, well, shoot, where can I go? Where can I be taken care of? Because honestly, there's racism and ugliness everywhere you go, right? Like right now, it seems like Clemson is the easy school that people are picking on. Because of the South, let's be honest, a little bit different. But like, I live in Huntington Beach, and there's nut jobs out here, right? No matter where you go, I don't care if it's Oregon, California, Clemson, you're always going to find a certain group of people that are just bad human beings. And so I do think you're going to see what we just talked about. But I also hope, John, and this was my first thought when I saw, you know, the whole thing with Mike Gundy wearing the T-shirt and Chuba saying, hey, I'm not going to play for this guy. Like, I support my whole family, my kids, we're all Black Lives Matter, 100%. Like, I'm so proud that my kids stand by that and believe in that. But I think it's also okay to have a different opinion, not about race relations at all. There's no place for racism. But I'm saying, like, I hope we get to a place where, like, tolerance used to mean where I could think one way, you could think another way, we could still be friends with it. Now tolerance is kind of starting to mean if you don't agree with everything that I believe in, it means you hate me. Like, and that scares me a little bit, because I don't want to see where, and for all I know about, like, Mike Gundy, from what I know about him, what I've heard about him, he's always been very supportive, outspoken for his black athletes, right? We've seen it time and time again where he has been, so now he's wearing a shirt, and I'm not a political guy at all. I don't even know what OAN is. I keep seeing it's a right-wing Fox News type deal. He's a Trump supporter, so now we're going to get to a point where, like, if you don't vote for the guy that I like, it means I'm sitting out. I'm not going to play. You know what I'm saying? Like, I hope we don't get to that point. Like I said, there is no place for racism. I'm all for equality. I believe, maybe I'm crazy, I've always been that guy who thinks that you can also believe that, you know what, I want to support black lives. I still believe that cops are good. Like, maybe I'm crazy for thinking that way, because I feel like now we have to make a choice. It's either you're pro-cop or you're pro-black. You can't be both. I'm like, no. Like, I will never be that guy who says it's one or the other. So I hope athletics doesn't come to a point, and we're going way off topic, I get that. This has just been kind of in my head for the last couple of weeks. But I hope we don't get to a point where it's just like, it's so, you know, this or that, right? You have to be, no pun intended, like, so black or white issues where you can't be, you know, on both sides of the fence. You can support this and also support that, too. I hope we don't get to that point where that dissolves, that line becomes isn't there anymore, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does. Greg, I got to run because I'm up against the break. I appreciate you, and we'll bring you back on. Thanks, man.
Awesome. Yep, sounds good.
All right, there's Greg Biggins, 24/7 Sports. Leave it here. Coming up, 2 o'clock hour, it is happy hour. Got a question for Anna. I'm going to ask her some questions on the other side of the break. Also, the 2 at 2, it's the two biggest things going on in the world of sports. So much more. We'll have some fun in the 2 o'clock hour.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.